We were talking about this yesterday in regards to the Mets and the Yankees, what they were going to do, how they're going to try to basically bolster their roster and kind of redo part of it, at least a third of it. And I would think that the Yankees and the Mets are not done yet. I mean, they're still out there. They're still trying to call and find players. I do think that Brian Cashman is very aware of the money. You know, I kind of feel like the guys that they've added, you know, they're not that expensive. They're guys that hopefully he can find a little bit of a diamond in a rough. This latest guy, you know, supposedly hits left-handed pitching great, and maybe he'll be a platoon, or maybe he'll be out in right field for Aaron Judge. He's actually a pretty good defensive player. The Mets, as you just said, the bullpen is going to be refortified, and certainly when you look at it on paper, it is pretty impressive. But the Phillies didn't sit stand pat either. You know what I mean? I mean, they went out and bolstered their bullpen. They get a flame-throwing reliever. So I don't know. I just feel like the Mets are not done yet. So I think we're going to go over 2.5 players for the Mets, since they had already added one player, Soto. So we were questioning whether or not they would add three or more players. And I do think they're going to add somebody else. And the Yankees, I'm not really sure, you know, what they're thinking about right now. I can't believe that this would be the only moves that they would make. I would think that they would maybe add another player or two. And depending on, you know, who's available out there and for bullpen help, because certainly they need that. And I think both the Mets and the Yankees would also like another legitimate starter.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where the Mets are looking right now, is do they upgrade in center field and do they add a starting pitcher today? Because they're not going to add another reliever after what they did yesterday. And I think the Yankees were kind of left holding the bag. I'm sure they were involved on all these guys. I'm sure they were involved on Duran. I'm sure they were involved on Tyler Rogers and Helsley. And the Mets and the Phillies just gave more, especially, you know, the Tyler Rogers deal. Those are three guys that we have seen that the Mets have traded back to San Francisco in that deal. So the Yankees are going to have to fortify the bullpen for sure. And now we're going to see, you know, how far David Stearns goes. I mean, he traded away a bunch of prospects yesterday. How many more? And do some of those big names we were talking about come off the board now? The Acuñas and the Beatties and the Vientos and the Mauricio and stuff like that. You know, how much all in? There's all in, and then there's
I mean, they still have a logjam at third base, and they still need some sort of situational, I mean, to fix the situation in center field to get a little bit more offense in the outfield. To me, and I think we talked about this yesterday, it's been written all over the place. So a lot of people think that Stephen Kwan from the Guardians is a guy that is out there that people are bidding for. And if I believe that if the Mets got him, you know, stick him in left field, put Brandon Nimmo in center, I could live with that, and put Kwan at the top of the lineup. Now, all of a sudden, you've extended this lineup a little bit more. You get Jeff McNeil back at second base, Brandon Nimmo out in center field, although it's not perfect. But you now have a leadoff hitter that is really a contact hitter that can be a guy that can set. The problem with the Mets is they don't have a problem setting the table. They have a problem clearing the table.
Yeah.
But I just do think another solid outfielder and a solid offensive player that does put the ball in play makes a lot of sense to me. And I can work around, you know, who's going to play center field. And I know it's not perfect, but I do think that it makes you better offensively. I also think that it puts people in the right spot, maybe with the exception of Brandon Nimmo in center field, who's played center field before. I mean, it's not like he's not played out there.
Yeah, I mean, I always feel like the less running I can have Brandon Nimmo do, the better, especially with some of the lower leg injuries, the lower body injuries that he's had over his career. But it's not the worst situation at all. And Clay Holmes was not good again yesterday. That's an issue. I do still believe in the starting pitching when healthy. They need one more big bat. They just need it, because you see yesterday, and I know Yu Darvish turns into the greatest pitcher who's ever walked the earth when he faces whatever Mets lineup is out there. But when you've got Lindor struggling, Alonso struggling, and Soto out of the lineup, I mean, obviously, they got no shot.
Well,
You
can say the same thing about the Yankees. You know, if you have,
yeah, but they've won 3 out of 4 without Judge there, and they figured it out somehow. But that's one player. As we're talking about, two guys who have just been awful offensively in Lindor and Alonso for an extended period of time. I mean, even through the winning streak, and Soto, who hopefully will be back sooner than later.
Well, just know that last year they all had their moments. And It's now, this is where the season, by the way, this is where the season really begins.
Rubber meets the road.
Rubber meets the road. Metal meets the meat.
Yep.
You know, so this is where we go. This is where it all starts now. This is August and September after the trade deadline and trying to figure out what your lineup and what your roster is going to look like, who's healthy, who's coming back. And I kind of feel like both teams are on the trending on the way back with injured players. But I don't believe they're done yet. And we talked about this yesterday after we get off the air. Right after we get off the air, the Mets announcement comes.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
So 10 a.m. today, expect a deal. I'm sure Evan's going to be going crazy. I did see him yesterday when I was leaving and he was coming in.
And what was that like?
It's just frenetic energy is really what it is. You know, he's wheeling around a suitcase for whatever reason. I have no idea why. Wheeling around a suitcase.
I mean, does he keep his like aluminum cans and bottles in there?
I'm a loser.
So we could get this 5 cents or 10 cents.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
That's what it was. Yeah, a big shopping cart filled with cans and bottles.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then he was talking about how it's going to be tough for him because he has these memories of the 2015 trade deadline where him and Joe were doing a camp show and Cespedes got traded to the Mets and they didn't know what to do. And I was like, Evan, you're going to be okay, man. Like, it's all right. No matter what happens, you're going to be okay. A Giant. You'll be talking about the trade deadline. You know, it's a good problem to have all this stuff going on right now. And having two baseball teams that are active and trying to win, which is something we haven't gotten from these football teams in the last number of years.
Hopefully that's going to change for both of them. And there's a level of excitement over here with a number of their rookies that they've drafted. And, of course, Jackson Dart is at the top of that list, along with Abdul Carter and Cam Scadaboo. So, you know, it is every year you start spring training and or summer training camp, I should say, and you have a false sense of hope, I think sometimes you would call it. But, you know, there are new personalities here. I think Brian Daboll, we'll have Brian on a little bit later on. I'm sure he knows what the realities of this business are. I mean, you know, he's not going to hide anything. He knows what he has to do. Their offense is just, if they can get their offense somewhere around the middle of the league as opposed to the bottom of the league and with an improved defense, maybe they'll be one of the teams that actually can surprise people, especially if Russell Wilson doesn't turn the ball over early in the season and give games away the way that the Giants have given games away over the last 3 years.
And speaking of Russell Wilson, he is scheduled to appear with us about 35 minutes from now. And about 5 minutes from now, Jameis Winston is scheduled to appear. So we're going to take an early break.
We have a trade. And we not only have a trade, we have a trade involving a New York baseball team. So tell me, would you like to break the glass on this fine Wednesday afternoon, July 30th, 26 hours away before the MLB trade deadline? The New York Mets have acquired a relief pitcher who I didn't even know was available. Tyler Rogers, the side-arming reliever of the San Francisco Giants, who's been with the Giants for a long time, and I'm going to knock on wood when I say this, is always healthy. Which is half the battle when your reliever stays on the field, leads the league currently in appearances, and has pitched to a 1.80 ERA. So Tyler Rogers, one of the more reliable relievers in baseball, has been acquired. I don't know what they gave up. Ken Rosenthal was the first to report it. I would actually say, Teak, that is more than a lottery ticket because he's a reliable good reliever.
Right. He's been in the league for 7 years.
Yes.
Seventh season. So
yes.
Consistently good, even though he just lost the game against the Pirates the other day, but it doesn't matter. This is kind of what we thought David Stearns would do, too. Nothing out of this world splashy, but just shore up your bullpen. You already got Soto in there. Now you go get Rodgers, and you hope that it's enough with what you already have to put yourself in contention to get back to where you are.
What I love about a move like this, and I could eat these words because baseball is a crazy game, is most relief pitchers, and I have said this for years, are absolute wild cards. You don't know what you're getting from up and down nature of the sport. Tyler Rogers is one of those rare guys who's very, very reliable.
Well, he's reliable, and over the last 4 years or so, he just keeps getting better and better and better. Now 3.57 a couple years ago, then 3.0, then 2.82, and now he's 1.80 ERA wise.
And I'll tell you something very strange about him that's also really fun. So the fun part is he is a submarine pitcher.
Hmm.
Okay, he comes way under, which I love.
I loved them when I was a kid.
Me too.
Who was the pitcher?
Jeff Innes.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't paying attention to Jeff Innes.
No, there was someone else. I can't remember now. I was like a kid.
Right.
So it was probably in the 80s. Just was way submarine. I was like, how in the world do you do that?
It's amazing.
And throw strikes.
Like they're dragging their knuckles on the ground as they come underneath. It's very impressive. But what's funny about a guy like that, he's a right-hander, is that you would think he's murder against righties. And the splits throughout Rogers' career and this season is that he gets everybody out. He's good against lefties and he's good against righties. And so sometimes when you see a guy with a windup like that, you're like, ah, he's just...
Right.
You just need to get the right lane for him. And the truth is, he gets everybody out. So this is
Quisenberry. That's what I'm thinking.
That's who you're thinking of?
Dan Quisenberry.
You're older than I thought.
Yeah.
No offense. So this is a really good move. I'm very excited about this. Do we know what they gave up yet?
We do not.
All right, either way, I'm pumped up. This is a good move. Are you excited, Tommy?
Very excited. Not that anybody cares about this part, but Rogers has been on my fantasy team over the last couple of years, so I've watched him a lot and I'm at least keeping a close eye on him. Most reliable, like you said, one of the elite relievers in baseball. I think this is a tremendous move. Let's see what they gave up, but I love the move.
Never apologize. Let me tell you the beautiful thing about fantasy, especially the league we're in. Me and Tommy, because we're in the league, and anyone else in the league, but in terms of on air, we know more about relievers than anybody.
We do specialize in the relief pitchers.
We specialize, we do. And so we know.
That's fair.
So like Gregory Soto, I had a very strong opinion on based on my history with him.
Yeah.
Which is not good. Unlike yours with Tyler Rogers. Yeah. So in a weird way, yes, fantasy is selfish. No one cares about your team. But it does give you knowledge about players that maybe most people aren't as familiar with because they're freaking relievers. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't want people to think it's like clouding my judgment. I could just tell you he was money for me in fantasy. He's been great. Tremendous.
Yeah, so good move by David Stearns. He's added two relievers now, Gregory Soto and Tyler Rogers, and we go from there. The Mets are currently playing. We'll keep you posted. They're in San Diego with a late afternoon game, trying to avoid a three-game sweep at the hands of the San Diego Padres. Actually, kind of an important game because, A, the Padres are a wild card threat, and so you never know if you need the tiebreaker, which I love to bring up. And, B, who the hell wants a three-game losing streak after starting off 3-0 on this West Coast trip? It kind of ruins it.
Right.
Like, if you told me going into the trip I'd be good with 3-3, you can't tell me that when you start 3-0 and go 0-3. So don't use that in your positive Tommy tweet if they lose today, okay? Thank you.
I won't.
You will or you won't?
Oh, the 7-3?
No, the 3-3. The, hey, West Coast trip.
No, I was going to do, now they're going to win, but if they happen to lose, I was going to do their 7-3 in their last 10.
Don't do that.
Why not?
Because
why not,
Evan? Three in a row.
It doesn't matter.
But it's true. Factually.
Thank you, TJ.
He's right.
If I had told you.
The lineup is Nimmo Vientos, who got a hit in his first at-bat. Lindor, who just popped out. Alonzo McNeil, Alvarez, Mauricio, Beatty, and Tyrone Taylor.
Obviously missing Juan Soto, who's dealing with the foot issue. We'll see if he's available off the bench. But that's the Mets. They just made a trade for Tyler Rogers. So here we are, still 26 hours before the trade deadline. The Mets have now added two relievers, and the Yankees have added three bats. Which is kind of crazy when you think about it. You almost forget about Ryan McMahon and Ahmed Rosario. And earlier today, they added a fourth outfielder in Austin Slater. They still need bullpen help. They could still use a starting pitcher. So we're not done yet, but both the Mets and the Yankees have been active. Let's go to Andrew in Lawrence, New York. What's up, Andrew?
What's up, guys? Just give me a second because I've been holding for a bit. I just got a point, and I wanted to just follow up with your comment regarding Acuna. You know, I'm glad that he plays center field. And, DK, you guys could just chime in on this. Like, I look at you guys as the elite athletes, and
right.
I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but, like, if you took Ozzie Smith and put him in the outfield, the guy would be amazing. So, like, it kind of, like, I think we overanalyze things sometimes when you guys are amazing athletes, and I would just go with that talent sometimes overanalyzing. And just my second point, Evan, you might appreciate this because we talk about sending people down. Why can't they send Alonso down? Like, what happened with Alvarez was amazing. He went down, they really looked into what the issue was, and they fixed it.
So
what is his perception?
I'll give you the answer to that, and we have to let you go because it sounds like you're in a submarine or something. Pete can't be sent down.
Yeah.
Once you have a certain amount of service time,
yep.
You're just not allowed to. And so what happens is you need permission. So many years ago, the Mets had a pitcher, a free agent pitcher, named Steve Traxel, and he stunk. And they actually went to him and said, we'd like to send you down.
Right. We want to keep you because we don't want to DFA you. We want to keep you, but you need to work on things.
Yeah, we believe in you. We just need to work on things. And Steve said, okay. And he went down to the minor leagues as this veteran making a lot of money, came back, and he was fine. So it's rare for that to happen. It could happen. I get your point about Pete. Like, let's just have a discussion about him because I don't think we really have.
No, we haven't. And it's been bad over the last 15, 20-some games. He's been really bad.
It goes. You know what's crazy, Teague? It goes back further than that. Like, Pete Alonso, if you go back over a 50-game sample size, 50. Which is a third of a season,
right?
He is hitting under 200. He's only hit 5 home runs. So, yes, coming out of the All-Star break, he's 4 for 42, and he's 0 for 1 already in this Met-Padre game. He's just a mess, and his at-bats are awful, and he's striking out a lot. Now, the good news is his defense has been great, but in terms of his offense, he is going through it right now, and I don't think it's gotten a lot of attention for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Mets have been winning, so when you're winning, it's easy to say, no biggie. I think the other thing that's been going on is he got off to such a good start, his numbers are still good. And that's why I always say when a guy gets off to a bad start, it's more recognizable because you see an .085 batting average as compared to when you go through a slump like Pete. You know, his average is certainly dipped, but his OPS is still good. His home runs are still good. And so it becomes less noticeable because you're not staring at really ugly numbers. But the reality is Pete's going through it right now.
No biggie.
It is a biggie, though. That's the problem. And while you may be able to weather it right now, especially coming off a 7-game winning streak, and obviously you're struggling here in San Diego, but you can weather it because of how good the team has been.
Right.
Over this little streak. But eventually, you're going to need Pete Alonso. Eventually, you're going to need Lindor and Soto and all these guys that you're paying a ton of money to perform as they're paid. Like that's why you build teams the way that you build them. You keep your stars because you expect them to be productive when you need them to be productive.
100%.
And at some point, Pete's got to come out of this.
I think here's where you get concerned. Do you think he's going to get out of it?
Of course I do.
Okay, so then it's just a matter of when.
Look, he was bad last year for a lot of the season.
Yeah.
And then when it got to the postseason, he kind of turned it on.
Just to give you those numbers, so if you go back to, and the date I pulled up is June 2nd, because that was the last time he was hitting over 300.
This year.
This season. It is now 50 games. I'm not going to include today. He's 0 for 1. 50 games. 190 batting average. 5 home runs. A 598 OPS, 47 strikeouts.
Wow.
That's a third of a season. That basically sets a 200 strikeout pace for Pete Alonso. By the way, it's a 40-game sample size, so it's even worse. That's actually a quarter of a season.
Right.
So that sets, I mean, it's awful. There's no other way to put it. Like, he is going through it right now. It's baseball. It's hard. I believe he'll get out of it. I think a big part of the spot they were in to begin the season was because of Pete Alonso, but there's just no denying right now it's bad.
Right.
Sending him down is not the answer. It's also not an option, to our caller's point.
But I don't think it's not something that he needs to work on in the minor leagues. It's just his approach has been bad, and he's swinging through pitches out of the zone. But you're right, his defense. I think the reason they did it with Alvarez is because it was both. It was a mess at the plate.
It was also a young player who's still unproven.
Right.
You know, guys like Pete and Francisco Lindor, I mean, they're the proven players.
And he still had options. And so it was easy to do that. And so it's different with a veteran player who's done it at a high level for a lot of years. And so Pete Alonso, he would never agree to it. I don't think he needs to go down to the minors. He just needs to start hitting better.
Period. Yeah. And I'll give you another one. Since June 15th, this is a 37-game sample size. Francisco Lindor, 188. With a 587 OPS. So two of your best players over the same amount of time are awful.
Yeah, and somehow they're still able to have 7-game winning streaks.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you?
Well, it tells you that the bottom of the order was stepping up, and it tells you they started pitching better.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of how they were able to succeed early in the season when other guys were struggling. So it's great that they're winning games. I mean, I'm not complaining about that. It's just to acknowledge that both Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor are going through it.
11 new players come to New York. 7 for the Yankees and 4 for the Mets. And, I mean, ask Brian Cashman at the moment. Brian Cashman at the moment.
No, we got to have the Met one closer to me. That's the way it's been.
Yeah.
We have to have that here.
I think.
All right, very good.
So you're telling me that Brian Cashman doesn't suck today. Brian Cashman sucks.
No, he doesn't. I mean, listen, he did what he normally does. He brought in seven players, including, and I heard Jerry and Fleeks talking about this. Is everybody calmed down now? Everybody ready? Everybody good? Everybody good? Everybody solid?
Yeah.
That Caballero, this infielder from the Tampa Bay Rays, was traded mid-game yesterday and was in the winning locker room after the game. Obviously, the Yankees won the game 7-4. But, man, when you take a look at what the Yankees did, it's amazing. It's really, I mean, what Brian Cashman did. And by the way, it's not under the radar because I'm sure I speak for a lot of Yankee fans out there. Ryan McMahon has been a great add at third base for them right now. I think he's been on base 12 different times at a 24 at-bats. And he's playing, I think he had one error, but he's playing a really good third base. And that's the kind of guy that, you know, could he turn into the Scott Brosius for this team?
Wow. Well, toss around Scott Brosius.
When they got Scott Brosius, everybody's like, they got Scott Brosius. All right. And then look what happened.
Well, yeah, of course. And, you know, Scott Brosius, an integral part of a New York Yankees dynasty. And I think that the Yankee fan would love to have those memories and those type of feelings attached to Ryan McMahon. But, yeah, it really comes down to Aaron Judge coming back and being the dominant force that he is. So that's what Brian Cashman is banking on. And that's got to make you feel good as a Yankee fan, because I know that a lot of people are having negative feelings and thinking maybe this Aaron Judge injury is worse than what they're saying. But Brian Cashman doesn't do what he does yesterday if he doesn't think Aaron Judge is coming back 100% healthy.
The Yankees are always in it. They're always in it. And anybody to think that, oh, we got to sell, we got to get rid of this guy, we got to get, you know. No. The Yankees are the preeminent sports franchise in this country. They are. I'm sorry. You know, people come from all around the world to go to Yankee Stadium. You know, I have, Anthony Munoz calls me up. He goes, man, my family's coming in and they really want to go to Yankee Stadium. And I'm like, all right, and I'll see if I can help out a little bit here and a little bit there. You know, and
did you say you know where it is, right?
Of course he does. And he can't wait to take his family to Yankee Stadium. And, you know, a lot of my friends that come in from out of town, can we go to a Yankee game and things of that nature? Because it's Yankee Stadium. So there's, my point being is that Brian Cashman has been a part of this for, what, 30 years? How long has he been?
Feels like 300 years.
It does.
Yes.
And, you know, he obviously is the guy that receives most of the slings and arrows because they haven't won a championship in 2009. You know, but they are relevant every year. They are the team. They sell out. There's a passionate fan base. Sometimes it gets a little wacky and loopy, but he always delivers. He may not deliver a championship, and you may be screaming and yelling about certain players and development of certain players. But man, when they lost Juan Soto, what did he do?
Well, plan Bellinger, B, got Bellinger, and he's been unbelievable.
Goldschmidt. Boom, 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 boom. Problem at third base, go get a third baseman. Problem in the bullpen, go get arms and go get you know, flame-throwing arms. I mean, that you know, he knows exactly what the fan base wants. I'm not saying that he is driven by the fan base because he knows what he needs, because the fans of the local teams know the local teams better than anybody and where their weaknesses are. And that's one of the reasons why David Stearns goes out and gets Cedric Mullins. Everybody knows they needed a more offense in center field. Everybody knew that. And, of course, David Stearns knows that. He could listen to this radio station, you know, 24/7, and he would have heard that they got to go out and get more. Now, they wanted it. Everybody wanted
it. You think that's how he
knew
they needed more offense in center field than listening to the fan?
I'm not saying that they are. That the fans know exactly what is needed.
Yeah.
And I have to say, for Major League Baseball, and you talk, I was looking at the amount of impressions and posts on X and TikTok and everything else. It was off the charts yesterday. There were 50 trades in the last 31 hours, and there were 168 players moved up until the trade deadline.
Yeah, there's been a lot of dud trade deadlines over the last number of years. This was the exact opposite. This was as exciting as it gets, and to be a witness to two general managers that were pushing their chips into the middle of the table was awesome, and you didn't feel like either one of them gave up the things that you were worried about them giving up. You know, I think that the most concern that any of the two franchises have about trading away a player is the Mets and Drew Gilbert, and the level of concern of that is probably not past a 5 out of 10. So, I mean, that's the other part of this thing is getting all these players, fortifying bullpens, getting that center fielder that the Mets needed and wanted, the Yankees getting the third baseman they needed and wanted, and then not dealing any of the guys that the fan bases were afraid of trading away that could be a big part of their futures.
And you have to remember, the Yankees also added Amon Rosario. They also added Jose Caballero and Austin Slater. I mean, I don't know what roles they're all going to play. Caballero can obviously give Anthony Volpe a break every now and again if they want to give him a break. It's just amazing how active the Yankees were. Now, I will say that the Seattle Mariners were active. The San Diego Padres, they were active. The Texas Rangers, they were active. Minnesota basically traded away its entire starting team.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of bad feelings that are going on there. I mean,
but they're up for sale, too.
Right. They also had an anonymous player come out and say that this is bad because no one wants to stay here. Like, it's just a tough time.
They have to get new ownership. It's got to be like the Washington Commanders when Josh Harris took over. They're going to get a new stadium down in D.C.
Yeah, whatever. Screw that.
But what I'm saying is that that's exactly what Minnesota needs. You know, they got A-Rod running the basketball team now.
That's right. He should be running the baseball team.
That's what he should be. So maybe that consortium will figure out a way to buy the baseball team as well.
That's right. He's got a consortium. I remember when A-Rod and J-Lo were right there trying to buy the Mets.
Thank God.
And the freak out that I had at that whole thing, saying that these guys are going to break up and it's going to be a disaster and this is the worst thing that could ever happen. Well, thank God Steve Cohen was the one who came out of that.
Yeah, .72 asset or whatever it was.
Well, yes.
Whatever. But I will say, this is where the baseball season now begins, folks.
That's been going on since March, man.
But none of that matters. Now it matters. Yeah. Now the teams are refortified. They fix their weaknesses. And now this is where the baseball season starts. You know it and I know it. August and September. This is it. This is where we go. This is where we go from here. You want to start looking at schedules?
No, I don't. I'm more of a one game at a time guy.
I'm always a one game at a time guy, but you know how I like to look out about a couple weeks in advance, see who each team is playing?
Yeah, well, you know, you've got the Yankees right now who...
How many times do they play the Twins at this point? Who plays the Twins is what I want to know.
So you've got...
look who's playing the Twins.
Yeah, I was just about to say, if you look right here, you got Miami... For three, if the Yankees now won three in a row, it could turn that into six in a row very quickly. Then Texas, who, by the way, you know, they go out and fortify their rotation.
They got a good pitching staff.
And then you got the Astros, who get Carlos Correa back.
Yeah.
Amazing. And then the Twins, a team that traded Carlos Correa to the Astros. But, so there you go. That's what you got there in August.
And you got St. Louis, too. They got the White Sox. You got the Nationals. Come on. You got that big four-game series against the Red Sox. I mean, come on, man. This is where the Yankees, man, this is where they start taking off.
Jansen Junk on the hill for the Mariners. I mean, the Marlins tonight.
Okay. What do you want me to do with that?
His last name's Junk. It's crazy.
You know, and I'm mad at you.
Why?
I am so mad at you this morning. I couldn't sleep last night.
Why?
I was tossed and turned because you made a bet on me yesterday, and I didn't like it. You made a bet on me yesterday. You were betting on me for a reason that I will discuss a little bit later on.
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? He's a jackass.
No.
You tried to make me look bad yesterday. You bet on something that I was going to do, and I did it. Hook, line, and sinker. Took it.
Right, but you don't... I did not set you up. This was one of those things where it was your buddy. It was... What is he, shipwreck, or is he dumpster fire?
I don't know. I know they were together, and we were playing golf yesterday.
The one who was sitting directly next to me.
That's shipwreck.
All right, so shipwreck.
Yeah.
Shipwreck's there, and he's trying to offer me something, and I'm saying, no, I've had enough. I said, send it down that way.
To where I'm sitting.
big guy will have that situation.
Go screw, big fella.
And yeah. he goes, no, he won't. I said, oh, yes, he will. Then we bet $5.
All right, so we were out. We played nine holes of golf in the pouring rain, which is fine. And we're playing this beautiful place out in Wading River, the Rock. I was blown away by the views there.
Yeah, and I just want you to get out there on a nice day. And
oh,
really
I will.
See
it's gorgeous. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous.
And they got this. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you go ahead.
I was saying they also have this, you know, like 5-star Italian restaurant attached.
All right, so after the round, you know, you go in, you have a cocktail, and then the food starts coming, and it just doesn't end.
Yep, that's right.
And it's really great. All the food was delicious and everything, and they come out with these fried cannolis.
Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. It was like homemade donuts, essentially, that he put, like, fried them and then put the cannoli cream in the middle.
They were ridiculous, all right? And so I had one.
Yep.
There were six of us. Everybody had one.
Yep.
And everybody really liked it.
And there was two left on the plate.
There were three.
There were three left on the plate.
And this is where I'm annoyed at you. I was going to save it, but we're in it, so I might as well talk about it. So this is where Shipwreck says Boomer's not going to eat one of those three that are left over.
Right. So this is how it all happened. So everybody has one. We're all stuffed at this point. We had fried zucchini flowers and meatballs and buffalo shrimp egg rolls. I mean, it was just
what was that pasta?
It was a smorgasbord. It was unbelievable. I don't know what it was, but it was unbelievable.
It was a spaghetti, but I don't know what the sauce was.
I mean, it was something that I've never experienced
before. What's the name of the restaurant?
It's Pulcinella.
Oh,
Pulcinella and Ciro. So Ciro runs the place. So Ciro comes over and he goes, you leave three here. We're talking about his specially made fried cannoli.
Yeah.
He's like, you leave three. What I do, throw this away? And I said, no. But if you send it down there, I got a feeling that they're going to have some. And then Shipwreck's like, no way. No. No, he's not going to have one. Boomer's not going to have another one. I said, you want to bet? I said, $5. He's like, okay, no problem, $5. So then Shipwreck takes the plate, brings it over.
And puts it right in front of me.
He goes, oh, we got three left. And then you're like, oh, man. And I'm like sitting there and I'm looking. And you didn't say no right away. And the second that you didn't say no right away, I knew it was happening. You waited 10 seconds. And then that hand, that left hand, that famous left hand, went right for it. And that $5 went from Shipwreck to me. And you shouldn't be angry about that.
I am. I'm a little bit annoyed that you guys were betting on me to eat a fried cannoli. I mean, that's a little bit annoying to me.
No.
And I had a hard time, like, trying to think how the whole bet went down between you and Shipwreck.
I told you, but I definitely overall ate more than you did in that situation. There's just no way. But I just knew you'd have another one. You should be happy that your partner knows you as well as I do. That's
the way you reacted to me eating it. Oh, don't I know my partner? Don't I know my partner? You're so proud of yourself.
Well, I was. It was more trash talking Shipwreck because he thought he knew, and he was so confident about it. So I had to spike the ball in his face.
And I told Shipwreck, I said, "Look, man, I work with a guy 4 hours a day, 5 days a week."
Yeah.
Mostly 5 days a week.
Right.
Just 4 days a week, sometimes 3 days a week, sometimes I'm not even here.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, during the summertime, but once we get past Labor Day, it's 5 days a week, every single day, every single week. But I told him, I said, listen, he's like, nah, Boomer's not going to have another one, man. He's stuffed, I could tell. I said, listen, I watched this guy eat an entire Ulacaca in a break. He'll be fine.
Yeah, well, that Ulacaca is ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean that.
And by the way, that's a Swedish Christmas bread is what that is.
It's just it's incredible. But anyway, so yeah, no, that food was just unreal yesterday. That whole experience. I mean, it's like usually you get bummed out when you get rained on. You have to end things early. But we went in there and just ate like kings.
I have to say, is that the highest point other than Bald Hill on Long Island?
It feels like that, right?
I mean, you could see like.
I know.
There are a couple spots on this golf course, the Rock, that you could see both the Atlantic Ocean and I felt like I could see all the way to the Sound.
No, you couldn't see to the Atlantic, I don't think.
No, you could see West Hampton, Remsenburg. You could see like in the distance.
You could see the ocean.
I felt like I was looking down on everything. I could not believe how high it was.
Yeah, well, on number 9, the par 3, that's the highest.
By the way, they got great golf carts too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, dangerous on a wet day, though.
They fly, yeah, for sure. But yeah, it was a fun day, and we were checking our phones and looking at the trades and getting poured on and eating cannolis.
Watching TV. I mean, watching all the trades, watching the golf on one TV, the trades on the other.
It was incredible. I mean, what a wonderful afternoon we had to end July, even with the rain.
Yes, I have to say it was a great day. It was nine holes, but it was a great day, and the food was just the topper, man.
Right, and then everybody was happy. Whether you're a Yankee fan like our pal Chris Vinay, or Mets fans like us, you were satisfied.
Everybody seemed like they were in a good mood because of what these general managers did. And they did exactly what I think. Could they have gotten another starting pitcher?
That's the only thing. Yes, that would have been it. Either the Mets or the Yankees grabbing another starting.
But you know
pitcher,
what also though? Tells me? It tells me David Stearns believes in his lineup. He believes in the players that are here.
Yeah.
So now he's fortified what he felt like was a weakness, and now it's up to those players. Much like they did around this time last year, you know, to come out of the doldrums, the slumps, you know, the slumber, if you will, and start, you know, taking off. Same thing I would say for the Yankees as well.
After the addition of Soto, I wasn't sure if they'd get multiple. I wanted more. That would be my top priority. They did that yesterday, getting Tyler Rogers and Ryan Helsley, to me, giving up nothing to do so.
Mets are cooking right now, man, and I don't think that they're done. I'm basically convinced you guys are getting a center fielder. I would be stunned if you don't. I think something else is coming. Now, listen, the situation with Holmes, does he go to the bullpen? They're not hitting right now. There are some Mets issues but then again, a lot of teams have issues right now because nobody's a perfect team. Massive move by the Mets. And what I like about this, now, they're very righty-laden, okay? But
what are you talking about with the pen?
Yeah, with the bullpen. Well, outside of Soto and I know Raley coming back. Yeah. I get that. But you look at do you consider Raley a high leverage
guy?
Okay, so you do.
And by the way, even if you're not considering him like on the level of Diaz, Rogers, or Helsley,
which I don't think that they are.
Okay, fair enough. But you have Soto and Raley as your top two. Like
no question,
they got five, and that pushes down Stanek and Garrett. That's seven arms in the pen.
It went from a massive weakness to what I think is going to be a massive plus. No, I mean what Stearns did yesterday was phenomenal. I'm not here to say that it wasn't. What I was going to say though, why even though they do have the two lefties, and we know that, but even their righties are very different. Like you've got one guy coming down basically scraping his knuckles on the mound, and then you got the other guy Helsley coming in throwing 99.7 on the average. Now his fastballs, actually I didn't realize this, we know he throws gas. They've hit his fastball this year. His best pitch is his slider, and I guess opponents hitting like 070 against the slider. But I point that out because you've got so many different variations now. Soto coming out throwing cheese as a lefty, sometimes a little wild, but throwing absolute cheese. We know what Diaz is, and now the additions just makes this team incredibly dangerous. Now the Phillies punch back. Yep. They got somebody who I believe is better. But the Mets' strength in numbers is undeniable. And it's been 40 years since the Mets won a World Series. This is what you do when you are taking the massive swing. Don't stop now.
One quick thing about the Phillies. They needed a closer. The Mets didn't.
Yeah, I get that part. That's true.
Phillies needed a power. They needed a closer. They got one in Duran. Yeah. And you could say that he might be better. He's not better than Diaz. And even if he is, the Mets now have Diaz, Helsley, who's a top closer himself, who's going to be the eighth inning guy or whenever they need him. And Rogers, one of the more reliable, consistent, good bullpen arms.
It's been
there.
Great this year, Rogers. Dude, phenomenal.
The one thing the Mets needed to do, if it was, I know we want other moves in the bat and center field, they had to upgrade their bullpen, and they did that in a major way. Now their bullpen is ready for the postseason. Does it mean they're going to win the World Series? No. Who the hell knows? Like, things will happen. But what it means is you cannot now question the Mets about what they did to fortify their bullpen going into the postseason. And their work should not be done. And I don't believe it is done. Martino just saying a little while ago on Twitter that the Mets are still after a center fielder. Now, there are different ways that they could go here. I don't know what the Rays are going to do. It sounds like reports are that the Rays are still conflicted, whether they're going to buy or sell. If Brandon Lau is available. Remember, the Mets gave all the... Like, dude, yesterday, can I tell you something? So I found out about the Tyler Rogers thing. I get home, had no SNY yesterday because the Mets 4 o'clock. So, I'm whatever, going home with the wife and kid. So I'm checking social media, and I see the trade not in real time. And the first things that I see are, oh, the Mets gave up a haul for Rodgers.
Talking about for Rodgers.
And I didn't see what they had given up. I just saw that they got Rodgers.
What, you think of like Mauricio or something? Yeah. You think of one of the, I got you.
When I see Hall, my first thought was, what? Acuna or Vientos a reliever? Yeah. And then I go back and look at the names and I'm like,
whatever.
Guys, come back to me here. That's not a haul. You prospect huggers need to get over it. Are you trying to win now? Or are you trying to build a good farm system? Gilbert, see ya. Budo, see ya. Tanwell, see ya. They gave up one prospect in Gilbert, who I don't even know what he's going to be. Who cares what scouts say? I don't care. You got to give up something to get something. So even if you give up a good prospect to get a good reliever in a win now, you go for it. And otherwise, two useless pieces to them now.
Yeah.
Budo and Tanwell are going to do nothing for them. But a hole? That's a hole? Come
and even
on.
Even Baez with the Helsley trade. Now, he's the one guy. He's number five or number six on their top 10 prospect list. But this is like, listen, yo, this is the cost of business.
Well, I don't understand what you want to do. You want to win a World Series?
Well, Met fans aren't complaining. Maybe the way it was framed in a hole, but I the Met fans that I've heard from and what I've read, Met fans are absolutely ecstatic now.
I've seen report Passan, Martino, DeComo, Duquette. Mets gave up a lot. Mets gave up a hole. I'm sure some people, fans as well. I didn't read everything, but I'm seeing that. I'm like, what? You want to win or what? Say, whoever they want, take them. Get Baez, whatever. Yeah, maybe he has some tools. This is not about Pete Crow Armstrong and that trade. This is different because you can make different arguments about that. A center fielder, were they really worth it of going all in? This team is worthy of going all in.
Yes, I agree with that.
It's the price of doing business, like you said.
I don't understand what, you have to understand. It's one thing to understand it, but from a fan's perspective, you got to embrace the timeline. And there are times to go all in, and the Mets are 95%. You got to get the extra stick, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. Yeah. But and you've got to know when not to go in. There's a time where it's just too cavalier, and you try to speed things up, and it's the wrong time to do it. And there are times when it matches perfectly. And why I've been so pro bat, for the Mets, and of course, I knew the bullpen help was coming. That was a given. But the reason I've been talking about the addition of a bat for a while is, Look around the team. These are things that we know, but this is the day to reiterate it. You don't know if Pete Alonso's back next year. Right now, you might not care as much because he's in one of the ugliest funks that you can be in. But Pete is a good player. Pete Alonso might leave. Lindor's not a kid. Nimmo's not a kid. Diaz's contract, not a kid. Manaea's contract, not a kid. This is the time to swing. Now, you could also go out and bring back Jesse Orosco and Roger McDowell.
Yeah.
If the offense doesn't start hitting a little bit, it's not going to matter as much. But in terms of Stearns doing his job and putting this team in a position to win, if you're a Met fan and you're not loving this, then you're lost. You just don't know what the score is here. What are you talking about?
And that's the story today. I don't care about the sweep with the Padres. The results right now, obviously you want to win as many games as possible. They're still in first place. So the Phillies lost to the White Sox. Don't worry about the sweep. You could get into that. And there'll be a different layer of conversation. Okay, now is Pete, Soto, Lindor, Nimmo, they're going to put on their big boy pants in the postseason. But the Mets had to go out there and be aggressive and put together a bullpen that was World Series caliber. They have now done that. Not to mention, BT, let's not forget, a lot of these prospects that people are upset and saying, Stearns didn't bring these guys in.
Yep.
This is a new regime.
That's a good point.
He's trimming the fat, cleaning it up. He's been evaluating the system since he's been here for now a year and a half, almost 2 years. So if you have to trust the new president to figure out what he wants, what he doesn't. And that's why I definitely think, to forward it now, there is more to come, whether it is Vientos or Acuna. These are also guys he did not bring in. I'm not saying he's trying to push them out.
Yep.
But when he's trying to build a World Series caliber team, parting with certain players is also they've got too many infielders. So they still haven't fixed the McNeil, Beatty, Acuna, Mauricio, Vientos. They still haven't fixed that issue. Maybe they don't need to, but maybe they do. Maybe they could get Brandon Lau if the Rays decide to sell. That would be my priority. If you ask me, what else do you want? And they're still in on a center fielder, whether it's Robert, whether it's Mullins. Those have been the two that I've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone back and forth, it was Mullins, But if it's Brandon Lau, who is a better bat, I was going to say I think, but it's not even I think. He is a better bat than both Robert or Mullins. If you could get the better bat and put him at second, mm-hmm. whatever you have to give to get him, Vientos, Acuna, McNeil, whatever, and then go get Mullins for cheap.
Oh, wow. Well, can you imagine that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, dude, Mullins is not going to cost you anything.
Nothing. He's a free agent.
Yeah, so you're like prospect-wise, financially, nothing. Mm-hmm. Lau's going to be the big one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to give up and clean up some of those pieces,
yeah,
you get the big bat in Lau, make the pieces fit better, and then go get the additional center fielder, as opposed to giving up more for Robert, who's not even, you know, it may be as good. We don't know what he is yet outside of the potential he has.
There's also a few other things here. So what you just said about Stearns not having drafted these players, most of them, that's a very important piece of the puzzle here. You know, you talk about whether it's music, whether it's art, whether it's food, whatever it might be. I mean, there is an element of subjectivity. Now, there's also statistical data that can reinforce from a sports perspective what you're watching or just to kind of, you know, frame things a certain way. But talent evaluation is really the height of subjectivity. What I might view is, like, think about what we talk about with the Yankees, whether it's Dominguez or Spencer Jones. We'll get to the Yankees in a bit. You and I disagree on some of that stuff because it's subjective. Now, we also disagree on some of the things with the Mets here, not in terms of what they brought in, but Stearns is looking at his entire crop of minor leaguers, and he's like, all right, I didn't draft this guy. His skill that somebody else valued is not quite what I placed the emphasis on. So I think that that's incredibly important, so I'm happy you bring that up. The other thing, too, is the imminent work stoppage that is staring us all down the barrel of the sport. So, again, I'm talking about Pete next year and the other elements of why the Mets have to go for it now, and they are so far, and it's impressive. But also, in the year 2027, Lindor's 2 years older, Diaz probably gone. I mean, it's Nimmo older and just not the same player. So it's not only about going for it in 2025, it's got to be an eye for this work stoppage, which is indisputably coming in 2 years. You take your biggest swing. They're 90% there. I don't think they're done. I think they go nuts today as well. And I think Met fans right now, you got to be pumped, obviously. Yeah,
love it. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We'll get to the Yankees, obviously, a ton there, not just from the game last night, but also their, you know, inactivity, what they need to do, what they're going to be doing here, who they want to par with, who they're looking to get. One more thing on the Mets. It's rare that as a fan, you're in alignment with your organization, right? You want it to be the case. Like, you have your beliefs about your Yankees or Jets, whatever it may be, whatever team
you're rooting for. Sure.
And I had my thought on what I would want the Mets to do and just certain philosophies and beliefs. One thing that I've always believed in is building a bullpen is easier in season. You never know with these guys. By the way, you don't even know now. Like, they could, Rodgers all of a sudden could fall apart. Who knows? They come to New York, maybe they can't handle it. You have no idea.
Yep.
Bullpens are so fickle.
Look at Devin Williams.
Exactly right. But, which is a whole other issue, by the way.
We'll get to them.
But when you're going to build a bullpen, as opposed to loading it up in offseason and free agency, I would much rather build everything else, figure out the bullpen, see how it plays out during the year, and then see what's available at the deadline. I love everything about this. Obviously, there's more to go here, and it doesn't guarantee anything. Doesn't guarantee a division, doesn't guarantee a World Series berth, it doesn't guarantee anything. Not even a playoff berth, as a matter of fact. Thought the Mets were going to get there anyway, but these moves guarantee nothing other than that you could finally, as a fan, sit back when it's all said and done and say, I know unquestionably Steve Cohen, David Stearns, the Mets organization has done everything they could to put this team in a position to go win a World Series, and that is everything you could ask for as a fan.
It is. This is what Mets fans have been screaming about forever, calling up this station forever. You know, hey, let's do this, let's do that, get this guy, hire this guy, fire this guy. I mean, it's really basically been, I know there's been a couple of good years, obviously, in the 40-year drought, but for the most part, it's been a checklist of complaints, whether you voice it to us or Mike and Chris or whomever. I mean, it has been a tough road for the Met fan. Now, there's no assurance that this results in a World Series. I get that. But the more that you line up the assets here, the more that you go for it, the bigger swing you take, you know, it just increases the odds. And the volatility of the bullpen, building it in season, I like that thought because I don't know, maybe outside of kickers, especially our kickers with these teams, but like the bullpen arms, and I don't mean the closers, the Marianos, the Eckersleys, the Bruce Sutters, even Orozco, you know, for a couple of years, guys like that. you know, the middle arms, the setup, but the high leverage guys, they're a dime a dozen, and you just don't know which way is which. So as we get to these calls here, understand that the players, and even Helsley had a couple of blown yeah. saves, whatever, but if you do build it in December and January, you don't know who you're getting. At least now you know the guys you're bringing in are, one, healthy, and number two, in the midst of really good runs, which should set you up for, I mean, a lot. The Mets bullpen has a chance to be phenomenal.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Matt is calling from East Rockaway. What's up, Matt?
Gentlemen, how we doing? Sally, baby, we're going for it.
There you go, Matty. Yes, finally.
Hey, Sal, I got a question for you. Now that we have the bullpen, at this point, you would think David and Steve Cohen, they're pretty much going for it. They're putting all their marbles out there. Why don't, if they want Kwan, right? Why don't we give whoever they want, and we get Ramirez too? Mauricio, give them all.
Matt, this is where the first call.
Come back to earth, Matty. Jeez.
Come on.
I get it. You're intoxicated by the possibilities. But so you're going to get Kwan and Ramirez.
I thought I was asking a lot for Lau and Cedric Mullins, which I do think is realistic. The Guardians, the reports were yesterday, they were looking to actively trade Kwan and Bieber. And it sounds like Bieber, I don't know if it's official yet, sounds like Bieber would be going to the Blue Jays,
Toronto,
in fact.
Yep.
So we don't know about Kwan yet. They're likely not trading Ramirez. I don't want to say never, but it doesn't seem like they're going to trade
Ramirez. He's not getting dealt this
time. And even if he were, you don't have what it takes to get Kwan and Ramirez.
You actually might, but I think that would be almost too reckless. You get the Sproats, you dip into the top relievers.
I mean,
there's a way to do it.
Dude, you'd have to give up Mauricio, Vientos, Acuna, Sproats.
But you would do it for that, right?
Ramirez? I just think that's ridiculous. You're going to pillage the farm for two players.
Dude, Ramirez is basically a Hall of Famer, and Kwan is exactly what you need.
Yeah, I get it, but there's no guarantee, so you can load up all you want. I'm not getting ridiculous here. I'd rather have some of the younger arms in the farm system, and I'd rather keep Mauricio.
You prospect hugger, you?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, man. Look in the mirror. You just called everybody else out for hugging them.
That's got to be the first call. Now let's go get decent. No, Lau or a center fielder? Sure. Come on. Ramirez is not getting traded.
He's not going to get traded. I don't think so.
All right, let's get some more in here. Hector is in Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
What's going on? The Mets is up. That's what's up. I'm so excited, Sal, and I'm right there with you. Listen, these number retirement ceremonies, the alumni games, all that stuff is cute. But you know what I want? I want that parade of the Canyon of Heroes. And this league is wide open. And we've been asking for David Stearns. We said, okay, now the eye is on you. What are you going to do? The team sucks with running a scoring position. What are you going to do with running a scoring position? And to me, last night, he hit a double with men on base. Or let's say he hit a single and drove in two runs. But guys, we can't stop here. I am not looking for that bases clearing double. I am looking for that grand slam. If you could go out there and get me a pitcher and upgrade that center field and get a bat without giving up a Vientos, maybe you trade Acuna or maybe some other minor leaguers that people will lose their minds just because they heard of their name and they sounds good, but we don't know what the heck they're going to be, then you hit that grand slam.
Now, I got a question, Heck. When you say pitcher, you're talking about a starter, obviously, right?
A starting pitcher. Yeah, go make the move for Alcantara. Why not?
He can help him. But again, look, I don't even know if he would be the difference. If Alcantara were better, if there were a prominent, thank you for the call, Hector. We appreciate the energy. It's always good to hear you fired up and happy for a change. If Alcantara was at the top of his game, or forget about him, if there were somebody else that were a dominant, bona fide ace right now, that to me would be a different story, saying, hey, you need this piece. This guy's in the midst of a great season. Whoever it may be, go even further all in. Who's the guy? It's not Alcantara.
It's not Cease. I actually think Alcantara fits that more than anybody else that you could get.
Because
you put him in
that
Queens with 40,000 people and that energy rather than 6,000 in Miami, that guy's answering the bell.
I know, but it's still...
Same with the Bronx. He's answering the bell. He's sick. His stuff is sick.
I know that, but there's still an unknown about him, BT. I mean, what's his ERA this year? His ERA is...
It's high. It's been pretty high.
Yeah, it's 6.36.
I understand that.
The guy's got a 6.36 ERA. I know he's been better as of late, and I know he has been a great pitcher. But my point is, yes, I would take him and the potential of him. He's not a sure thing. Nobody's a sure thing, but there's more of a gamble with him, wondering what the hell is going on. He's got a 6 ERA. That's not the ace I'm talking about, like where Justin Verlander at his peak gets traded at the deadline, or Randy Johnson gets traded at the deadline.
Randy Johnson.
You know what I'm saying? Where's that top?
Yep, or Coney even back in the day.
Yeah, whatever.
I understand that.
Sabathia when he went to the Brewers. Give me the top ace that you got to give up four or five top prospects for, like three top 10. Give me that ace. I'd rather part with the prospects for that. With Alcantara, you're probably going to have to give up a lot. He's under control and he's got the potential, but there's also an unknown element. So I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be opposed to adding another starter. I don't think it's a priority. I wanted the bullpen. As a matter of fact, we could further it and say, what do you think is more important in today's postseason with the way Major League Baseball has evolved? Like, most starters aren't going deep. You see what the Dodgers do, even with the team that's it's like one arm after another out of that pen. I'm going to this guy. I'm going to this guy. That's how you win.
We've seen openers.
Yeah,
in the postseason,
right?
I mean,
it's about the bullpen.
Yeah, yeah. So they need a bat though. That's to me.
They're trying to get a center fielder,
and I think they're going to get him. I really do.
But is like if they get just Mullins, is that good enough?
Honestly, with the other moves, provided Soto's okay, and provided Lindor and Pete wake up from their hitting comas.
No, I'm talking about just the deadline.
I would deem that enough. I myself would.
I don't think I would. I can't go nuts about it. It's. I'd be satisfied.
He's better than Tyrone Taylor.
But I don't want to just be satisfied. I want to be Thanksgiving Day
fat.
I want to be full. I got to take this belt off and put the sweats
little
on.
Little Al Bundy, open up the pants a little bit.
I want to be napping on the couch full. And the way to me to do that, there's a couple of different ways. Robert, I think, would get me excited because he's got the potential. See, Mullins, we know what he is as a bat, right?
Yep.
He's not going to be a great bat. He's an upgrade, solid player. I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Lau could be a difference-making bat. If you get Lau and Mullins, now you're really, that's to me the home run move. If you can't do that and you get Robert, I think that's got the potential to be the home run move.
I agree with that.
So that's why I'd be okay with either Robert or the combination of Lau and, let's say, Mullins or even Bader if you need to go left.
Put it this way, though. To me, now I don't know that the Mets can do business for another 100 years. I'm not so sure that they ever have quite an impact like they had with Cespedes back in 2015.
Right.
But Lewis Robert, to me, in theory, potentially, is the closest, you know, that like replication of coming in for 2 months and, you know, Mullins is not banging 11, 12 home
Bingo.
Runs. Can Robert do it? Yeah, he could. He can also hit 170 and strike out 35% of the time, but he's on a run and you get him in a lineup with better bats and, you know, a real team. That's the guy for sure. They're not done. Like, so I think something's happening with our show, and we'll get into the Yankees coming up. Something better happen on our show with the Yankees or before 6. I really believe the Mets are still going for it.
From a Mets perspective, I thought there was going to be a little bit more. Can't go nuts. Yankees, I thought they should have done a little bit more. But again, can't go nuts because they added the bullpens. I think it was a good deadline that improved both ball clubs, but I don't think it was a home run as much as people are saying.
I thought you'd be a little bit more excited. I'm pumped, man. I think New York baseball's on fire right now. Think about what we've dissected here, Sal. You know, all the calls and all the debates and the conversations really for a couple of months now. What both teams needed, and I think both teams addressed their biggest need for sure, the bullpen, in big ways. Now, listen, I get it. There's still some variables here. You know, from a Yankee perspective, Judge's health and Luis Gil's return and what he looks like. For both teams, the back end of the starting pitching. And listen, if there's a critique there, you know, Cashman could have landed one. He tried. Stearns could have landed one. He tried. But I look at these reinforcements that are massive upgrades and really plug in some holes that were threatening to destroy the seasons. And not only are they here, but neither team gave up any top prospect. I think they crushed it.
Well, right. That's the thing. So you're more concerned about not giving up top prospects than you are improving the ball clubs.
No, because I think you could do both. And I think both
teams.
But they didn't. Says who? What do you mean they didn't get?
Well, they
didn't. What?
Both teams got better. Okay. But did they go all in? Did they do enough?
Well,
the Yankees didn't get that starter that they wanted. You could say, well, they tried. Well, trying, since when is trying good enough? Well, they tried. You know, maybe the Mets tried to get Robert but ended up with Mullins. Like, it's an upgrade. It's nice. I'm not going to go nuts and knock each team because they were aggressive. They made the moves that they did the bare minimum. The Mets needed a center fielder. They got one. The Yankees needed a third baseman. They got one. Both teams needed to revamp their bullpens. They did. That, to me, is the bare minimum. Neither team went over the top to make me feel super excited about the rest of the way.
Yeah, I didn't need either team to go over the top because both teams were good. Both teams were flawed, and both teams were presenting, Yankees certainly more recently, issues that, again, were threatening to just destroy the season. I love what they did. I mean, the Yankees brought in 7 guys. So, listen, the starting pitching, I understand. Now, you know, from the Mets' perspective, Manaea has got to stay healthy. Senga's got to get his act together. You know I love Peterson. From the Yankees' perspective, Rodon, you can't fully trust him. Fried's got to remain the bulldog that he's been. And obviously you want to see he'll come back. But you see, we can fixate on the starting pitching. And I'm not saying that I totally disagree. I mean, if both teams would have gotten a back-end starter, then I think we're looking at A+. I'm not quite handing out A+s. I'm handing out A's and A-minuses. But I think there's also different ways to try to win. There's the conventional way where you give the baseball to a starter and he goes, you know, 5 or 6, which is nice. You'd love to see it. But then there's the other way where you piece it together, and you can't piece it together if you don't have any arms back there that could get the job done. So I look at what the Mets have now. I would have maybe liked another lefty, maybe somebody, you know, Tim Hill's a soft tosser, maybe get somebody throwing cheese. Now the Mets went that route with Soto. Again, not perfect, but this is about bridging innings and piecing games together. And you've got 2 months to make sure you win enough games you get to the postseason. And I think that at this point, both teams will. And I wasn't so sure about the Yankees a few weeks ago. But the real key is when you get to October, your stars got to play well. And that means Judge, and that means Pete, and that means Lindor, and that means Soto. And you've got to make the right moves in coming out and maximizing the arms for the matchups. Yeah. And I think that they could both. I think that they both have a chance to do it.
Well, they both got better, and they both still have a chance to go out there and get to a World Series and win a World Series. All I'm saying is, and I didn't even say starting pitching. You keep saying starting pitching. I know others have said that. I didn't say that. I never said that the Yankees didn't. For me, you know the move that I wanted the Yankees to make.
Yep.
I wanted them to go get Kwan. Yep. Now, he didn't get traded. Now, you know why he didn't get traded? Because nobody was willing to give up what it would have taken to get him because he is a valuable player. I don't even know if the Yankees were interested. I do know the Padres were interested, and the asking price was the kid that the Padres sent to the A's for Mason Miller.
Yeah, the third prospect in all of baseball.
Right, that's what the Guardians wanted for Kwan. So if I'm the Yankees, like if I'm sitting here today saying, wow, Cashman hit it out of the park, he crushed it, David Stearns, King Cohen operating like big boys, I would have needed to see a little bit more. Specifically from my perspective with the Yankees, Kwan, and with the Mets, I don't even know if there's a specific player. Lau was the one that I talked about once he got brought up, but then I heard he wasn't too thrilled about maybe being taxed, what mm-hmm. it would have taken if he comes to New York, so I don't know about that. I didn't really care about a depth starter, okay, whatever, but it would have been, hey, if they got a depth starter and maybe a little bit more than, let's say the Mets got Robert and a depth starter, then I could sit here. Remember yesterday we were saying I wanted to be full from Thanksgiving. I'm like, I had a good meal. I had a strong, healthy good meal. I'm not overly full from either team. It's not knocking the teams. They did fine. The Yankees did a great job rebuilding the bullpen. Mets did the same thing. They didn't go over the top. And I do think a big part of that is the reluctance to give up some of the prospects. If it were me, and by the way, BT, I don't even know if Jones and Schlittler or Dominguez, whatever, one of the two out of those three would have gotten Kwan. I don't know that. But I do know that the Yankees most likely weren't willing to do that. And that's where I take issue with that. And as for the Mets, they didn't clean up their gluttony of infielders either with, you know, Vientos, Beatty, Acuna, and so on.
Yeah, but I also, like, from the Mets' perspective, for all those guys, and there's a glut, and we've talked about this a lot, you can't have all these guys on the roster for the next couple of years, and eventually there's going to be a battle of attrition, and either Mauricio or Beatty or Acuna is going to elevate themselves, and I would probably bet on Mauricio more at this point, to a point where they are viewed not as untouchable, but certainly a real piece of the Mets puzzle moving forward. And that's when you react, and that's when you move the other players. Like, think about this, Al. We were watching Tyrone Taylor, who has an OP, and he's a good fielder, I get it, but he was miscast, and he was just in the wrong role. And you know, you put McNeil out there, all right, he did a pretty good job for a middle infielder, I respect it, but he doesn't have the speed, and then you throw the Nimmo combination, just talking about defensively. To me, that was untenable. Like, I don't think you can win a World Series. Well, I mean, maybe you get a little lucky, whatever, but I would rather not take my chances with two guys who are, you know, either average or below average in multiple facets of defense. So the glaring hole for the Mets was center field and the bullpen. Bullpen addressed, mm-hmm. center field. Now, hey, Cedric Mullins, what do you think he hit, 7th?
Yeah. I
mean,
I like it. It's a solid ball. All I'm saying is neither team went over the top. It could have been either the Mets or Yankees for Alcantara. And again, I'm not saying that I would have done that, but if they did, then it's impossible to come in here and not be thrilled or beyond excited. They didn't. Neither team went over the top for whatever piece you thought or I thought or anybody else thought that they would have needed. Yankees were trying for another starter, didn't land one. The Mets Mets would have liked to probably add a depth starter, didn't get one. I bet the Mets would have liked more than Cedric Mullins. They're happy with him, but they didn't end up getting, whether it's Robert or whatever else, you know, the concoction would have been. That's all that I'm saying. It's been, look, Yankees did a great job last minute rebuilding the bullpen. And by the way, I love the addition of Caballero as well. You get some speed and a depth piece. Like, certainly he's an upgrade over Peraza. So, both teams got better. They filled needs. They got better. But I think they also did the bare minimum. Imagine if the Yankees didn't build the bullpen the way that they did.
Oh, well, the season would be over.
Okay. And imagine if the Mets didn't get a center fielder or didn't add multiple bullpen arms.
Not good enough.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so they did. But
I got you.
I do feel like I don't think that Cashman or Stearns went over the top and killed it. I think it was a solid, you know, you take it every time. You take solid A or whatever you want to grade it. A minus, I'd probably give them both A's, but I wanted A pluses.
Yeah, I'm good with being greedy. I get it. You know, and the thing about this stuff, too, you don't, there's not always a cesspitus to get. So that's the other thing here. When we're talking about that power move, that massive flex, that all-in, you know, all the verbiage we attach to what we want our GMs to do, and it applies to all the teams in our city. Like, outside of Mason Miller, and I might, now you and I vary in terms of how we view prospects. I to me, to give up the third-rated prospect in all of baseball for a closer is the height of stupidity. But that's just how I view baseball. Like, that's just me.
I'm more with you. By the way, I'm more with you on that. Now, it's not just a closer. It's one of the best, and you have him under control.
Understood.
But still, I'm with you. If I'm going to invest the third-best prospect in all baseball, I'm either getting the most legit bat or I'm getting the best starting pitcher on the market.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's no doubt about it, dude. Like, if we're sitting here, that's why I referenced Cespedes. Now, I don't know that any Met fan, while everybody was pumped and we all knew what he was with the A's and he was certainly just an explosive addition, I don't know that anybody could really see quite what he did coming, maybe 70% of that. I mean, that was a grand slam. When the Yankees got David Justice in 2000, who won the ALCS MVP, I mean, that wound up being a grand slam. You know, Cecil Fielder, lesser extent, but in 96, a big power move. I think, Sal, for me, it's more applicable. Like, if and I know you're not necessarily criticizing Stearns and Cashman, you're just not all in, which I get. But if there was somebody else traded, like say if the Cubs traded Kyle Tucker because they didn't think that they could sign him, and we're sitting here today saying, what the hell? Why were the Yankees and the Mets not in on Kyle? That's a different conversation.
Right, but BT, there were two guys in Kwan and Alcantara that could have been different makers. And not to mention Mason Miller, like you said, I wouldn't have given him up, but he did get traded. The Padres did get him. Padres aren't just competing with the Mets or the Dodgers. They're competing with the Yankees as well. Like other teams, specifically the Padres, they went nuts. Now, does that mean they're going to win the World Series? No, they went nuts last year, but I respect it. And I thought the Mets were going to be even splashier. It was great. It's not a knock. An A is a very good grade. I thought it was going to be over the top even better. I'm not surprised with the Yankees, but I'm mildly disappointed that when a guy like just for me, Kwan being available, and he was available. Like, that's the point. He didn't get traded, but he was available. I don't know if they were interested. They certainly wouldn't have given up what it would have taken, even if they had that. I'm just saying, when guys like that are available, to me, to get the A-plus or to be really excited to go over the top, that's where I you know, and not knocking them. But
I hear you, dude. Yeah. Now, let's get back to Kwan for a sec, because you and I, we had a good debate the other day. We disagreed on exactly who he is, and of course, we both like him. You like him more than me. And I listen, if you wanted like Dominguez, sure, I had my limits with him. But don't you think it says something that nobody else in baseball, nobody, because you're right, he was available. The Guardians were dangling him for weeks so that nobody else jumped in and said, okay, I'll give you my third best prospect, I'll give you my fifth best prospect, and I'll give you somebody who's been in the show for a year that has some upside or maybe even more. Don't you think that says a lot about Kwan? To me,
No, no, I don't. I think it says a lot about the market and how teams hoard these prospects now. And also, more specifically, as it pertains to the Padres, because they did give up the player. They felt that they'd rather give him the player up, the third best prospect, for a bullpen arm. That was their decision. From a Yankees perspective, again, I don't know what Cleveland would have wanted from the Yankees. BT, by the way, maybe they didn't want anything. Maybe they look at Spencer Jones and say, I don't want him. I wanted the third best overall prospect in baseball. I don't want Spencer Jones, or I don't want Dominguez, or I don't want Schlittler. I'm sure that I would assume that some combo might have at least gotten you at the table, but I don't. Who's to say that the Guardians even wanted that? All I'm saying is Kwan to me was a perfect fit for the Yanks. It may not have been realistic. What was realistic was that Cashman was trying to get a starter. So if he were trying to get a starter and didn't end up pulling the trigger for whatever reason, then how could I sit here and say that he crushed it or that he gave him an A+?
Well, okay, think about this. So let's now bounce from Kwan to Alcantara. Yeah. So I mean, his stuff is phenomenal, but you were the one, and I didn't even think it was quite this high. You were the one the other day. He's like, he's got a 6.5 ERA.
Right.
So how are we
going to... I would not have gone all in for him, but you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so, yeah. Like, if we're going to, and again, we're both giving him very, I mean, again, you can't get higher than an A, but if we're going to, like, nitpick or, you know, hey, just 90% or you're on the 4-yard line rather than punching it in, is that really fair for a guy whose ERA is almost 7?
No, I wouldn't have done that. And it could have been another starter anyway. I would not have gone all
you
in.
You want Zach Allen?
Nah, I mean, whatever, a depth piece. Again, I give the Yankees and Mets both credit. They did a good job here. I just got to bring a little dose of reality here. It's like everybody's going nuts about things. By the way.
Yes.
I have learned that the Yankees did try for Kwan. Price was okay. That makes me at least feel a little bit better that they were... in at least the mix, that was not reported, or at least I didn't see it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But they did at least try for Kwan and were told that they felt that the price was too high, which is fair enough. At least now, but CBT, that to me, even like, what's the price? Like, you could have gotten this player that could have been a difference maker. At least they were in on him, which makes me feel better. But the price is too high, whether it's for Stearns not willing to give up certain prospects or top end guys, or the Yankees not being willing to give up top end guys, that's, or other teams, same thing. Like, there's a balance. Teams have been threading the needle as opposed to going all in. I respect what the Padres did more so than what Brian Cashman and David Stearns did.
Well, yeah, I mean, they also haven't won. I mean, so if you're a Padres fan, well, it was, again, 98 against the Yankees, 84 against the Tigers. Yeah, I guess if I'm running the show out there in San Diego, I'm gonna say, all right, third overall, whatever. I mean, I got Manny, I got Tatis, I got all these studs. You know, I gotta take my massive swing now. I really do think, though, when you look at what, and this is part of the evaluation for certainly for me, when you look at what Stearns and Cashman gave up, like, we could be sitting here and my tone could be totally different. Now, it would be different from yours, but if the Yankees got Kwan and they gave up Spencer Jones and Schlittler to do it, I would have destroyed them.
Yeah, and I would have loved it. And
then I get it. But I would have destroyed them.
Yeah, and then, well, that's maybe why we feel different. And then we could have seen what would have happened there. So, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you and I just differ where I'm not looking to give away young players under control. I understand the business to it. I understand the intelligence behind it, the value of keeping a young player under control. I get that. I also am somebody who values going for it now, not halfwaying it. And I think both teams were aggressive enough to get A's or whatever you want to say it as far as the grades go. I don't think either team went over the top all in. And it could be whatever you want. Me, Kwan, somebody else starter, Mets back end, Mets Luis Robert. Like the Mets ended up on Mullins. Because maybe they didn't want to part with, let's say, I don't know, either pick a guy, Beatty or Vientos or whatever, the combination of Acuna and Beatty or Vientos for Robert. Now, yep. you could argue whether it was right or wrong, but clearly Mullins was the secondary option in center field. So there is a level of settling for that or valuing, saying we'd rather give up nothing for Mullins than give up Beatty and Acuna, let's just say, hypothetically, for Robert. And I don't know if I agree with that. I'd rather the big, sexy splash, go all in and give up guys. Doesn't mean it's right. It's just for me, that's why I would not give them the over-the-top A-plus grade.
Yeah, the other thing, too, you know, the players and the Mets did not do this. But the players the Yankees got, and this is something Cashman sometimes does too much, but everybody they got has control. I mean, McMahon's got 2+ years. Rosario's a rental, obviously. You got Bednar for another plus year. You got Duvall for 2+. You got. I'm not incredibly high on Jake Bird. His numbers actually are better in Colorado. It's weird.
But he's got nasty stuff.
He does. No, he does.
I was saying that yesterday.
No, he does. He's filthy. He's got 3+ years. And even Caballero, he's got 3 or 4+ years. So, again, I think that the holes for the Yankees were more apparent than the Mets. Now, I've been saying, Mets, you got to get a bat. Now, and right. I've said that for a month. I didn't necessarily think that Mullins profiled to be that guy, but I'll tell you what, when I combine that with the other moves, you know, I like it, because if you have Cedric Mullins batting seventh, he can run, he can field, you know, he could drop down a bunt, you know, he's an athlete. And by the way, he's been in some big games. Luis Robert has not, so I attach a little value to that. And then 2 weeks ago, we're looking at who the hell's playing third base? Is it Vivas? Is it Peraza, who's never going to hit? He could play baseball for 30 years, never going to hit. So the Yankees got a third baseman. They do have at least a little insurance, and this has been the primary baseball story, aside from the deadline on our show, really for a couple of, and maybe the station, Volpe's, whatever, mm-hmm. shortstop. At least now you've got, whether it's Rosario, whether it's Caballero, you know, whether it's a pinch run, whether it's a pinch hit against the lefty, more so for Rosario, at least there's some options. But here's the deal. And I do appreciate the option. I'm not going to say optionality, but I do appreciate the options. Here's the bottom line. We'll do most of the show on what these teams did and what they could become and can they win the World Series. We'll get to that eventually. But if Judge doesn't hit, if Fried isn't a bulldog, if Soto's leg is not right, if Lindor doesn't wake up, if Pete doesn't wake up, if Devin Williams doesn't clean it up at the back, like, there's other questions that could really sabotage the season. But for me, for both teams, I love the answers.